Hello, everyone. I'm Kevin Winder, and thanks for tuning in to another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. And as always, I've got a question for you. Can you believe this is the 500th episode and still without a single political post? In today's podcast and post, I'll reflect on what it means to have this podcast reach its 500th episode, and I'll discuss the two diverse audiences that are drawn to this content. Join me now as I share a little bit more of my story and this journey to 500 episodes, and why I still got so much more to share. Hello, everybody. Yes, thank you so much for coming back to yet another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. I am your host. My name is Kevin Winder. I like to serve the world as an online pastor, author, and uncoach, among many other things that I do in the world, just like you. And I am super excited to have you here. Folks, I realize that today the audience will be a little bit different. This is not going to go out in the usual flow of things. This post will probably only go to podcasters and maybe a few other folks if I promote it on social media or something like that. But if you're tuning in because you saw this 500 episode, I want to say thank you and welcome. And what took you so long? I mean, I've only been here 10 years. And it's okay. It's totally fine. I'm glad for anybody who comes and gives their time. I'm always grateful when somebody says, hey, I will listen to what you have to say. I never believe that anybody comes to this work by an accident. I say it is always by a divine appointment. You are drawn here. Something is putting this in your path, your journey, and it's important for you to be present, to be a part of what's happening, what's being said. And I just want to welcome you. I want to welcome all comers, and I want to get into this post. And it is podcast number 500, and it's called Beyond 10 Years of Podcasts. Okay, so just a little framework for everybody. If today is my 500th podcast, let me give you a little bit of perspective for the podcasting world. There are over 4.5 million podcasts that are available to you today. And of that 4.5 million podcasts, only about 7% will reach the 100th episode. And only about a percentage of the 1% will ever reach 500 episodes. So in other words, a tiny fraction of 1% of podcasts will ever obtain what we're celebrating together today. So I begin today with my deepest gratitude to all of you and any of you who have ever tried out a podcast here, who've gotten 4 minutes in and unsubscribed, for all of you who have continued to come back time and time again. And of course, you know, if you've been here, and I have people who have joined me midstream and gone back to the beginning to listen to every single episode. And man, you're rare, and thank you. For those of you who have looked at my website and just found topics that are deeply interesting to you, kevinwinder.com, you could go and check that out. You can dive into the podcast content that way. Everything is evergreen. It's designed so that no matter when you find it, it's there for you. Okay? So thank you, first and foremost. And with very few exceptions, I can tell you that I have produced at least one podcast every week since May of 2015. And this podcast started, if you remember, some of you do, it was called the KevCast. And it was a shorter, much more raw, observational criticism of life and religion and power structures. And if you remember back then, I had a parental advisory for good reason. It was a little more edgy, okay? And I was invited to try a radio program. I used to be a DJ on a local Christian radio program, and the station manager and I got reacquainted at one point, and he says, hey, you should come and do a radio program. You know, I've listened to your podcast. I think it's good. You could probably reconfigure it for a radio program. And I thought, okay, well, let's try that out. So it was in Denver, and I did it, and I changed the name to Beyond Everything Radio. I sanded off some of the sharp edges. I got rid of my parental advisory, and I created a 30-minute format, which I mostly still stick to today, but because of all of my jibber-jabbering and long-winded commentary, it tends to go sometimes a little over, and I don't care, because it's not a program anymore like that. It's a podcast, so if it's 34 minutes, who cares, right? But anyway, that's when I started to kind of, instead of just riffing on topics and subjects and kind of sharing, you know, spiritual insights, I went back then to my deep love of teaching the scripture. That's my passion, and that's what I wanted to do. And so Beyond Everything Radio grew with a weekly listenership at that time to over 80,000 people per week. And it might be argued that it'd be more than that, but on average, it was about 80,000 people a week. But that kind of came at a cost. You see, the station loved my program, and they gifted me with multiple free replays during the week. So I had a Sunday morning kind of off hours program, and they packed my replays in through three or four times during the week. But you see, their audience, which was largely the Christian fundamental evangelical audience, they really resisted the deconstruction that my teaching invites. If you've listened to this podcast at all, you know that it seems like I'm mad at religion or mad at the church or down on whatever. And it's not true. I'm simply reflecting what the Bible holds as a perspective towards such institutional power. And I challenge the church to go back to where it went wrong and become what it was always supposed to be, imbued with the power and the love and the spirit of Christ. I don't see that happening. I see churchianity as an alternative religion, not Christ following, which was freedom from all religion. And so that's the podcast. I teach this all the time because that's what the Bible talks about more than just about anything. And I keep showing it week after week. And some people just struggle with that deconstruction. They're so over-identified with their tribe, their denomination, being in a particular religion they think is the right religion. And that means they missed the Bible. So when I point that out, it startles people. It jolts you awake, right? And that's when the station was receiving so much feedback on my show than any other feedback. And the station manager loved it, but the feedback was largely negative. Like, how can you have this guy on your program? I am not going to support this station if this guy continues. And so we basically agreed this wasn't a fit for me. And so I continued Beyond Everything Radio as a podcast-only environment. And so each podcast is basically the audio version of my blog, which I started in 2012. It's called Thrive in Exile. And it was basically a journey documenting my journey out of institutional religion. It's freedom from the overreach of institutional power. And I moved to an online content back then, and because of my tremendous love for scripture, I kept challenging my own fundamental beliefs. You see, at the time, I was an executive pastor of a church plant in Denver, which was part of that Acts 29 movement. back in the early 2000s. I'm not even sure if it still exists anymore. But as an elder and a church leader, I became very frustrated that the majority of the decisions that were being made about the church were business decisions. How do we get more money? And we get that by getting more people. And how do we get more people, right? That scenario never seems to escape the elder board meeting, of which I've been a part of many of them. And so I sought to kind of decouple the ministry from income. That's a biblical precedent. I had a very strong case built by Paul to not preach the gospel and charge for it. I began encouraging pastors in this network, as well as our own church, to consider finding ways of liberating themselves from these paychecks and to be a volunteer, just as I was volunteering, and to reallocate the $400,000 budget towards serving the city instead of paying staff and, you know, all its bills. And that fell on deaf ears. And so the business of selling God and imprisoning people into a culturally contrived religious system, it basically produces very little transformation, and it was breaking my heart. I didn't go into the ministry to sit in board meetings about how to make the business of religion work. I have a deep love and passion for God, and I want people to have that same experience. And I thought religion was how I would be the delivery system through which God would save the world, and I was going to save the world through religion. But when I realized that that was never God's plan. Like the message of Christ was anti-religion. It wasn't starting up a new religion. Yeah, that's hard to hear at first. But see, here's the thing. All the pastors knew better. They knew darn well Paul's message when he says, I won't take a dime for anybody to make an accusation of me that I preach the gospel because I'm making money. But here in this world, pastors insist on preaching conversion to the Christian religion instead of simply Christ following. They insist on transactional ministry instead of transformational ministry. And they divide the world into saved and unsaved. And they look down on those that they were called to love. And that really is the sum of why I left the brick and mortar church. This is why I was like, that system is broken. And as much as I want to call it to healing and revival, you can't do that from the inside, because every place you go and you decide you're going to make a change, the people who are so over-identified and draw their paychecks from the machine will marginalize you and relegate you to the sidelines and eventually give you the left foot of fellowship. Trust me, I know. But 1 John 3:15 says, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding within him. So, like, you can't have religion where you feel like our congregation is slightly better than everybody else in the city, and we need to send them out to make those terrible low-life sinners into people like us. That's very condescending, and that's a miss of the gospel. 1 John 4:12 says, no one has ever seen God. And if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. And that's what I wanted. I wanted a church, a community, a people that where God abides. And I realize it doesn't have to be a building. It doesn't have to be, I don't have to look at you face to face. This virtual network is the best way, and oftentimes, for God to abide. I mean, nobody has ever looked Jesus in the eye, and yet you say you're a disciple. If you're a disciple of Jesus, if you're a student of his teaching, if you follow what he says, you are a virtual disciple, 2,000 years removed. Nobody is a true face-to-face disciple anymore. And so the virtual world is the perfect way to create virtual disciples. And I bet the pastor that, for $1,000, I can multiply many times over what this church's ministry is and free people in a far better way. And it's been proven to be true. You see, I just couldn't get the business of church to embrace those principles, so I left and went online. And my spirit animal, as I've said many times on this program, is John the Baptist. And my ministry is kind of like his in the sense that I deconstruct all the man-made parts of religion, and I point people back to the raw and present experience of Christ in and as our own lives. And that seems weird at first, but it's a lot more believable than opening some imaginary door in your heart and letting Jesus in. It's not vague, like, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's not, you know, all this kind of stuff doesn't always make sense, and it's now so culturally contrived that it actually puts people off. It's a stench, and it marginalizes people instead of drawing them in. And so my podcast mission is to free the Bible from 2,000 years of church history and to be a beacon of freedom personally and corporately to anybody who would listen. Like, I don't have a stake. Yes, I teach Christ following. I do not teach the Christian religion. I don't subscribe to a denomination. I'm not tribal in my belief. I am open-handed to all comers of all faiths, of all perspectives. And let's talk. That's where I start. And I have two audiences, you know, and this is partly because I never, after like in the mid-90s, I didn't take a paid check from the church. I've always served as a volunteer pastor, right? And so my message is kind of hard to hear at first. I'm kind of an acquired taste, I'm told. And it can take people months to sort of figure it out because I don't always explicitly say so or describe what I'm doing when I'm on the air. But one of my audiences is the fundamentalist, those people who didn't like me on the radio station. You know, those people who are threatened by my call for self-criticism and deconstruction of that institutional religion that they're so over-identified with. You know, they've bought into tribal religion and denominations and their comfortable buildings and their ego projects of their pastoral staff. And they prefer a message that makes them feel slightly better than others. Otherwise, they're not going to give up skiing and the ball games on weekends and come and sit and listen to a sermon and play mediocre songs and, you know, have their kids make a tongue depressor and cotton ball Abraham. Right? My message reminds the religious mind that it is in the most lost place that any soul can be. Like, scripture describes people in various states of lostness, and the most lost soul is the religious heart. And that's when a lot of times they just unsubscribe, just like Jesus's religion did from him. They're like, they wanted to kill him. So while most deconstructionists who kind of get some self-awareness and look at their religion, they start to feel the rejection from the devout community, what they usually do is just go too far and abandon the Bible and embrace the cultural trends, which give them followers. And then they just sit on the sidelines, you know, complaining and poking holes and throwing rocks at the fundamentalists. But folks, I cannot do that. Now, the reason I feel free to bring my criticism to the foreground is because I love, truly love my fundamental brothers and sisters too much to let them go. I also know that these people won't consider the mere opinions of others unless it's backed with a sound biblical exposition. In other words, they really do trust the scripture and they're doing their best to live in fidelity to that. I honor them for that. But this is why my podcast is biblically centered. It's theologically sound. And it's a constant invitation to those who are over-identified with religion to come out of your tomb, shed those grave clothes, and live again. But trusting the Bible is actually more difficult than trusting the religious industrial complex. And so when I show them what the Bible says next to what your religion has been telling you, many of them are in a quandary of what to do, and it takes them time to kind of really flesh that out. It takes the work of the Spirit and the heart to cause a person to lean into the Scripture and trust it and God's voice in that way, rather than the talking heads. See, but it's so necessary that they do that, and they can't do that. There's no place where that's happening. So I strive on this podcast to be the best biblical scholar possible for the sake of my brothers and sisters. Okay? Now, I've learned two things. And I'm going to get back to the other audience members too. But I've learned two things by being bivocational since the 90s. You know, what I mean by that is that I've always worked in a church on staff, but I wasn't taking a paycheck to do it. Okay? I've been working in the biotech industry and other industries, paying my own bills, so to speak. So the first thing that I can tell you I've learned is that it's really easy, just like Paul, to serve in full-time ministry without taking a single dime for that ministry. Folks, you can actually do it. Pastors, you can do this. The Bible admonishes pastors to work alongside their congregations in secular vocations and not to take money for preaching. That was Paul's ethos. Now, it's devastating to the believability of the gospel if you don't. Now, and this is why I think, given the fact that there's 25 times more churches than Starbucks, the message is diluted and lost and powerless to most people. They've turned it into a commodity in exchange for a living. And the more of a rock star pastor you are, the more living you get. And so it goes. Now listen to me. Any pastor who will not do the job of ministry for free is simply not called by the Holy Spirit to do that ministry. Don't give me any story about your calling to ministry and then say, I can't do the work because they won't pay me enough or at all. Folks, I'm not a Mormon, but I can tell you their business model is far superior to that of the evangelicals and the Catholics. They don't have a single paid pastor. The money is pooled into essentially an investment fund that funds all of their work. And they produce so many more good works to the community than most churches who are so broke and under the burden of funding a staff that they can hardly do anything good with their money. So think about that, okay? If you won't do your job as a pastor for free and then go get a job to support your family, you're not called by the Holy Spirit to do that ministry. It's an illusion. Second, the other thing I've learned from being bivocational is that when a pastor is bivocational, their message is actually tested in real life where it's believable and real. And so that's part of what you hear in this podcast. And too often, pastors are ivory towered. They're separated from the realities of work and life. And full-time pastors talk a big game, especially on Sunday, you know, but they rarely consider how that message registers in the lives of others. They try and make it relevant or contemporary or contemporant, right? But I've discovered that people in the world really do desire to talk about God and to talk and discuss spirituality. They just don't want to do that with churchgoers. When I had the title of executive pastor, most people didn't want to engage with me in spirituality. Nope. No, those discussions are kind of like, that religious guy is going to try and convert you. And next thing you know, you'll have no weekends or friends and you'll be listening to terrible music. by working alongside everyone else, like Paul did as a tent maker, I've earned the trust and respect of people I work. And the story of my life and my faith converge in the work. And I believe I share the burdens of my peers. I know their pain. I live it. I feel their stress. I engage with it. And yet my faith has something more to offer. And the miracles of life are so much more visible. And so it's a unique perspective. This podcast is all about the bivocational reality that I live in. Okay? And so my podcast is an invitation to put ministry back in the marketplace by not giving people a thing to prop them up. Like, I don't have a thing for you to come to. I don't need you to subscribe. There's no need to spend billions on a weekend big show, which tries to pull people out of their lives and into the church life by imposing tax violence on them. Oh, now that you're here, you know, only God's happy when you're here, so you better start paying. And if you're not serious about God, then you obviously aren't going to be supporting this ministry. But if you really loved God, and if you really cared about what Jesus is doing, then you're going to give 10% of your money to this endeavor and keep us going, right? You know, you've heard it. You felt manipulated because you were. And I've proven that I can reach hundreds of times more people in the virtual space as a virtual disciple for less than $1,000 a year. So I was right to leave the church machine. Now, back to my other audience. So I talked about the fundamentalists. The other side of my audience comes from my bivocational reality. I work in the biotech industry, and I'm surrounded by scientists. Most scientists are agnostic or atheistic. Many of them have different religious upbringings. They're Jewish, they're Mormon, they're Muslim, they're Seventh-day Adventist. They're all kinds of other denominations. In my audience that is kind of non-religious, are skeptical of spiritual claims, and they're rightfully skeptical. And so they tune in to this podcast because they know me, they know my work. I work in biotech. I've done all the stuff as a sales leader. And so there's a curiosity there. And some will tip their toe in the water and go, well, what is this guy saying? Is he a religious wacko? Is he a freakazoid? What is he gonna get me into? I don't know. And sometimes I'll say something and they don't come back for a while. Other times they're like, this guy kind of gets it, and they stick around. This group struggles to see and separate from their fundamentalism too. Oh, so you see that? You see, the problem is that it's not just the fundamentalists in religion that have the over-identification. It's these people who thought they got out of religion who have now over-identified with science or politics or social hot buttons or their own spiritual wounds because their church made them feel bad, right? It's their own rebellious heart that opposes God. These are all part of the human experience, and these are reasons why they've now over-identified with something other than religion, but they've basically made an idol out of it, just like the religious make an idol out of their denomination. These always tell me that I talk too much about Jesus in the Bible. The other team tells me I don't talk enough about Jesus in the Bible. But I love these people too much to placate them. I'm not going to just sit there and say, oh, you're right to be skeptical, because they are, but it goes so much more than that. I'm not going to give people a nebulous spirituality, right? I don't sit there and talk about source and energy field and all this stuff, because everybody who unhitched their wagon from traditional religion is now this free-floating, nebulous spiritual person. They call them spiritual but not religious. And that's totally fine. I think Jesus was the first one to ever truly be that. But what has happened as people have unhitched is that now it's just free-floating. It's really opinion and not truth. And so I believe that God has revealed truth through Scripture, and He wants us to know it. and he wants us to live according to it. Now, that is always very troublesome because a lot of times well-meaning pastors abuse the scripture and thus abuse their people. I do everything in my power to not do that. But I also feel like we can't avoid that. Just because God is a trigger word for you or the term father is a trigger word doesn't mean you throw the whole thing out. It simply means you have to heal your way through that. And so I unapologetically tell people about Christ. I talk about Jesus. I talk about God rather than source or energy or whatever. There's a reason for that because the scripture refers to the truth in that way, and it's helpful for us to find our ground there as well. So I'm always going to insist that our faith, whatever you have it in or how tiny or big it is, keeps finding its way to Christ. And I take great care to provide a biblical Christology. Now that means nothing to you, but I can promise you it's not a religious Christology. Most people conflate Jesus with Christ. They think Christ is his last name and H is his middle name, whatever that is. But I can assure you, Christology simply means that there is this office that's cosmic in nature, not limited. And Christ is the one who connects all comers to God. So if you've ever had a God experience, it was Christ that made that possible. I simply help you realize how to see and find Christ in your life. Very different than taking you down some road of religion, right? This is a nuanced and easily missed point, but I'm told that people keep coming back because they keep hearing something universally true, which helps them. And they, though sometimes triggered by Jesus, find themselves really interested in his claims because he says things that nobody else has ever said. And so I don't require a conversion to the Christian religion. I'm just helping people seek their own completion in God. That's what this podcast is all about. And so, folks, in conclusion, I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. Your comments, your feedback, your criticisms, your encouragement, like they've really kept me going all these years. And I know that this podcast is an acquired taste. You know, it's not clickbait. I don't do salacious stuff. I'm not trying to get likes and subscribes. I truly don't care if you like it, and I truly don't care if you subscribe. If you want it, you'll come. If you don't, you'll hang up. It's that easy. I am not insecure. I have a life. I have an income. This doesn't have to produce any cash for me. I don't need a single commercial, an affiliate sponsor. I don't need any of that noise, and neither do you. I stripped all of that away so that you can simply come and get evergreen content at your point of need, at the point you need it. And I trust entirely that God will meet that need and do that work in his own good way and in his own good time. Nothing more, nothing less. I don't care about anything else. I hope that comes through. I think it has because my audience has certainly grown over the years. And the fruit from this 10 years of work speaks for itself. Can I just tell you, if you're on the fence, you don't know what you're sitting here listening to, people who have come here, their lives are truly restored, healed, empowered. I can't even tell you how many marriages are healed, how many relationships with children are restored, how many people experience a new type of freedom that they've never had before. People learn how to truly love again. And how does that happen? Well, you listen to me drone on for 34 minutes or whatever, but then eventually you call me and we just start a friendship. And I text you during the week to see how you're doing. And you text me and we get on phone calls and we do this stuff. And this is what I call uncoaching. I don't charge you for that. I'm not going to set up some schedule where every Tuesday I'm going to ask you a bunch of invasive questions. I just become your friend. And when you need me, you can text me. It's that easy. And as long as I can manage it, I will manage it. And so far, I've been able to. And God bless you. I hope more come. And as you do, I'll find ways to serve every single comer. That's my plan. Now, people get out of stuck dead-end jobs. They begin finding their way to self-donating services. They are financially liberating. Like, this is a wonderful story. Like, I wish this community could all get together and talk to each other. You guys would be amazed. And so long as it's in my heart to do, I'm going to be here to invite as many as will come into discovering their true self that has been hidden in Christ and found in God since the creation of all things. I offer every single thing here for free, except for my book, which is brand new, Oblivious, and you can pay for that. But I will give everything else away. And I don't require anyone to join anything, to come anywhere, or do anything that isn't in your heart to do. I'm not here to make anything out of myself, to give you a thing, to get you into my thing. I'm here to free you into God so you can have your life back and have it to the fullest. That's my mission. That's my purpose. And folks, thank you for 10 years of transformation with no transaction. I pray that you will invite others to come and discover what God is doing with this work. And if I can support you in any way, in any part of your spiritual journey, please reach out, contact me, and may God bless you as you contemplate all these things.